Look at your hands. Such wonderful things our Lord has made. With them, we build up. With them, we destroy. We have gone through now this Lenten season, hearing the testimonies of many bystanders and looker-ons upon our Lord on the cross. Some hands were marred in betrayal, others marred in inaction. Some washed clean from all guilt and shame. But there is one more set of hands we must talk about. Our own. We have heard it said that we put our Lord and Savior on the cross. Our sin, our guilt, our shame put him there. And indeed it did. For Scripture is very clear, as we have heard from the prophet Isaiah. But there is another pair of hands we must talk about this night. One that held hammer and nail and dice and cloth. We don't often give much thought to the bystanders on the cross. They are a crowd, a faceless mob, with some key players, though. And one of them, a simple man, a centurion. This man who stood by on the cross of Christ, who saw the entire pageantry of the Passion played out, stood at the side. He was a centurion, a leader. Not the first one we have seen in the Bible. Not the first one we have seen in the mission of Christ. You might recall another centurion whose servant was sick to the point of death, who came to Jesus and in great faith asked him to heal his servant. And by the powerful, wonderful work of our Savior, that servant was indeed healed. Might not be the first time you have heard of a named centurion. Proud people, a proud group of men, leaders of the legions of Rome, strong-willed and powerful, they held the empire's sword in their hands. Daily, those hands were soiled in conquest. Daily, those hands were washed in blood. Daily, their calloused palms clasped sword and gripped shield to defend, to conquer. But when they were done, those hands were busy at work, feeding into submission the indigenous people, making them bow to Roman authority, holding hammer and nail. Crucify dangerous, violent criminals. Look at your hands. The centurion stood by. He stood by and he saw what we all were doing to our Lord. The voices of the crowd mocking him. He has saved others. Himself he is unable to save. Come down from the cross so that we may see and believe. He heard the insults. He saw their words and their pangs. He saw his own soldiers mocking criminal Jesus. He saw the inscription on the head of the cross. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, written in his own languages and those of the people. Look at your hands. He saw them, our Lord, upon the cross extended. Hands, nails driven through. He may or may not have held that hammer, but he did command the men, and it's just the same. He hung upon the cross, our Lord, looking over at the crowd. His hands stretched forth in supplication and crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Crying out, it is finished. Hands outstretched, looking upon a sorrowful mother, seeing her son on the cross. The disciple whom he loved. Woman, this is your son. Son, this is your mother. He looked upon a man on his hand, right hand. Truly, you will be with me in paradise. He looked upon the crowd. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He looked upon a sponge filled with water and vinegar and wine, and to fulfill Scripture said, I thirst. And hands outstretched to the world in supplication to our Father in heaven, nailed, bloodied hands, cried out, into your hands, Lord, I commit my spirit. Look at your hands. We have put our Lord on the cross. We have held the hammer and the nail. And yet, something wonderful happened on that cross. The centurion looked. Hands that were bloodied and soiled with conquest and war. He looked upon a broken man, a dead man. He looked upon the Savior of the world. He looked upon the Son of God on that cross. And after hearing everything, seeing everything, understood and professed, as we do this day, some 2,000 years later, truly, this man was a son of God.